Lovely. Always nice to hear the chatter, and we'll have a chance at the end to have teas and coffee. So please do hang around, and it'd be great to say hello and hi to you. So I mentioned right at the start of the service that we have a guest speaker who's very special to myself and Wendy, and Amy Prinsloo, and it's lovely to have her husband. So that's where she gets the name from, Prinsloo, from Hines. So he's kind of laughing that we got the name right this time. So last time we introduced her as Amy Glover, so having not quite forgotten, Hines, that she was married to you. And that's a great blessing. So I'm going to invite Amy to come and share. So let's welcome Amy as she comes and shares this morning. So Amy, don't you mention, is the student and young adult pastor at Trent Vineyard Church. So have you been doing that for how long?
I have been doing that for, in total around about 8 years. But I've been the pastor for probably about the last kind of 6 years.
6 years there.
Yeah.
And you had your student weekend a couple of weeks ago
we
as well.
We did. We didn't have alpacas. So I need to find out from Isaac how he did that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we did the very same weekend as well. And we had a wonderful time too. So it was really, really great to hear those stories just now, actually. Really exciting.
Great. Well, let's pray for Amy as she comes and shares with us this morning. Lord, we thank you that you have so much for us, Lord. Thank you that you speak to us in many different ways. You've been with us during our worship as we're hearing testimonies. And thank you, Lord, through your written word, through the Bible, through expounding that. Lord, we thank you that so many times you've spoken to us. And we pray that you bless Amy as she speaks this morning. She'll sense your pleasure and your joy within her heart. And Lord, that we'd receive what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning, church. Good morning. I want to start by telling you Sudeep's story. So Sudeep, he lives in India, and he was raised as a Hindu, and at some point his wife developed a chronic illness, and so he ended up taking her around to a number of local witch doctors and people like that, but nothing kind of seemed to change in her condition. But Sudeep's sister, she was a Christian. And so one day she invited Sudeep's wife along to church with her, where she ended up being completely healed. And that is the moment in which Sudeep profoundly encountered Jesus himself. When he saw that his wife had been healed, he said, "That is when I resolved to give my life to the Lord and to serve him." And so after that, he began sharing about Jesus in his community. But before long, he began to experience persecution. He received death threats. He was locked up in cells full of excrement and urine. He was shoved and mistreated by the police. But despite all of that, carrying this deep conviction in his faith, in his heart, through the support of other Christians around the world, Sudeep, he is still standing strong. In his words, he said, "I lived with so much fear, but the Lord stood with me and gave me the strength that I needed. All I need is his love, and I'm not giving it up for anything else." See, Sudeep is not actually his real name, but it is a very real story, one that is shared on the Open Doors website. And Open Doors is a Christian charity who work very closely with the persecuted church across the world in many nations. And I would really encourage you to check out their website, because there is loads more stories on it, like Sudeep's, that are just truly, truly inspiring. You know, I'm aware that there might be people in this room who have stories that actually look quite similar to Sudeep's. Maybe you have faced real persecution for your faith. But for most of us, particularly living in the West, Sudeep's story isn't quite the same as the kind of story that we might experience. For many of us, we actually have a lot of this kind of physical freedom that Sudeep didn't have in his faith. You know, we can go to church, we can share our faith with people, we have a lot of freedom in our society, don't we? But we too can experience feeling bound by different things. maybe the opinions of others, expectations, insecurities, addictions, all kinds of things. But I believe that for all of us, whatever our experience, we can know this same freedom and joy in Jesus that Sadiq found. You know, he might not have the freedom to exercise his faith, but he has found real freedom in his heart. And from that place of newfound freedom, he used it to love and serve the people around him. And so the question that I want to ask us this morning in Encounter Church is, how do we find freedom like Sadiq? How can we experience the freedom that Jesus came to give us and from that place share that with the people around us? You know, I wonder where your mind goes when I say the word freedom. What do you think of? You know, maybe it makes you think about that kind of physical freedom, you know, the freedom to choose or say or do whatever it is that I want to do without restraint, you know, as long as it's not hurting or offending anybody. But the freedom that we find in the Bible is in some ways worlds apart from this kind of freedom we might understand in our culture. You know, somebody who spoke a lot about freedom and its importance in our walk with Jesus was the Apostle Paul. And he wrote many of the letters in the New Testament of the Bible. In fact, it was a significant message that he really wanted to get across to the Galatian church. And he wrote about it in Galatians 5, verse 1. And it says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." You see, Paul, one of the things that he was writing to the Galatians about was that he was trying to correct some kind of false teaching that they'd fallen into. You know, they had accepted that Jesus had died to save them. They got that. But they had also been convinced that in order to be saved, they needed to adhere to all of these kind of old traditional Jewish laws, which were a collection of commands that had been put in place in order to help the Israelites to love God and love others, which, funnily enough, was also one of the commands. But the issue was, there were quite a lot of these old laws. And it had kind of gotten to a point where it was actually quite hard for people to kind of stick to all of these different things. And so that's why Jesus, he talks about coming to fulfill the law on our behalf so that everybody can live in right relationship with God through him, not just by sticking to all these things. And so even though Jesus had lifted these Galatian people from this old law, these new Christians, they were kind of acting as if they were still bound to it. Now, I remember for myself, for a few years after I finished university, I still kind of felt like I needed my parents' permission for certain things. For example, when I was 23, I decided it was finally time that I was going to get a tattoo. And I had picked a design, and I pondered over it for a few months. And I had enough of my own hard-earned money that I could pay for it with. But I couldn't bring myself to book an appointment without asking my parents. My parents, who at the time lived nearly 200 miles away, and I had not actually lived with for about 5 years. So eventually, I plucked up the courage to call my mum. And I was like, "Mum, I've decided that I want a tattoo, and I know what I want, and it's not going to be super big, and it's not going to be super obvious, and I've got all of the money for it." And I went on and on with my justifications and excuses, and I finally had to come up for breath. And after I gave her a chance to speak, she was like, "Yeah, that's fine." Almost as if, "Why are you asking me? You're an adult. You can make your own decisions." See, the rules and parameters that my parents gave me as a child, setting boundaries while I was living under their roof, they weren't a bad thing. The problem was I was still living under those parameters and those boundaries when actually I was living in a totally different environment. I was an adult now and able to make those kind of decisions for myself. And I think it's kind of similar to what Paul is trying to get at. You know, the law in itself, it wasn't a bad thing necessarily. It helped God's people to live in right relationship with him for centuries. But Jesus, he'd come to fulfill the law. And so instead of having to live by all of those old rules, Paul is trying to tell these Galatians that Jesus has set you free to live a new way of life. You know, elsewhere in Galatians, Paul, he writes that through Jesus we are redeemed so that we get to live as sons and daughters of God. We have been adopted into his family. He's given us a new identity as children of the King of the universe. We are made co-heirs with Christ who get to access everything that God's kingdom has to offer us. In Ephesians, Paul, he writes to the Ephesian church that we get all the blessings of heaven. Nothing is held back from us. We are fully forgiven, fully known, fully loved, fully embraced. See, this is the kind of freedom that Jesus died to give us. A full, unbroken relationship with our Heavenly Father whose love is unconditional. You know, remember the question, how do we find freedom like Sudip? Well, this is it. It's no wonder that he wouldn't give up anything for it. He would give up anything for it. And so looking back at our passage, Paul, he says that we have been set free, but then he says we need to stand firm in this freedom that we found. You know, like I said, the people, these new Christians, they had been lifted from this old law, but they were acting as though they were still bound by it. And so they were practicing all of these different kind of things, like these religious festivals that required certain sacrifices, or making the men go through circumcision, which was this kind of sign of the old law. And like the Galatians, I think sometimes we can make a similar kind of mistake. Because even though this freedom, it's a gift we've been given, we do need to choose to take hold of it. See, what Paul is implying is that we can live in a way that causes us to actually miss out on experiencing this freedom, this fullness of freedom that Jesus came to give us. And I think one of the ways that this can happen is when we convince ourselves that we are still bound. And we struggle to kind of free ourselves instead of embracing Jesus' freedom. You see, for me, when I was a student, one of the things that I used to really enjoy about being a student was nights out. And I used to go out with my friends, but to be honest with you guys, I used to often drink excessively and get drunk. And I was a Christian at the time, and I knew in my gut that it wasn't God's best for me. But I found it really hard to resist that temptation. And so as a result, I kind of just was living it under this kind of weight of guilt over it, because I saw it as this like huge rule, this huge thing that I shouldn't do as a Christian. And every time I broke that rule, it made me feel more and more ashamed. But I remember one day after a night out, I had this overwhelming sense in my uni flat just of God's love and him reminding me that if I wanted to experience more of him, if I wanted to experience his best for my life, that the invitation and the grace was there for it. And so that's when, for me, I started to make Jesus a priority. And so I started to attend church regularly. I got some friends around me who started to challenge me in my faith. I started reading my Bible again. I made every intention that I could to seek Jesus. And as I did, what happened was I just fell more in love with him. And as I began to understand more about his grace, I loved him more. And the shame and the guilt that I had piled upon myself each time that I had messed up, it started to ease. Because the funny thing was that understanding God's grace, it didn't just push me further into just doing whatever I wanted because, well, it's fine, he loves me anyway. It actually had the opposite effect. Because instead of being motivated by just looking like a good Christian and doing all the right things and sticking to the rules, I was motivated by my love for Jesus and all that he had for me, his best for me and for my life. And so in that way, I was finally able to leave my old way of life behind and to live in the freedom that Jesus wanted to give me. You know, Paul's encouragement to stand firm, you know, it's still something I need to remember. There are still things that I need to work through and wrestle through. I've certainly not got my life all sorted out. But he encourages us that when we walk by the Spirit, we find freedom. And so I know that if I stick with him and his life-giving presence, he is going to help me to not return back to that old life and to that old yoke and the things that I was bound by. You know, I wonder what might be some of the things that you feel bound by, or some of the things that you're, to use the language of Paul, yoking yourself to. Maybe it's something in your lifestyle that you know isn't God's best for you, like gossiping about your coworkers, or watching pornography, or a behavior or attitude like holding grudges or unforgiveness. You know, it could even be that it's something that actually maybe looks good on the outside, but it's kind of turned into a kind of like slavery. Like the Galatians, maybe you're feeling burdened by the weight of legalism. You know, for example, maybe you might feel like you're under the law of not swearing, but you're still speaking harshly about other people. Maybe you are kind of tithing and giving to the church each month, but when you're not in church, you never really spare any change for the homeless guy you regularly walk past because you don't actually harbor a generous attitude towards others. You know, sometimes maybe we feel like we're not reading our Bible enough or not doing a daily quiet time, and maybe every time you think about, oh, I should be doing that more, it kind of just comes with a real burden of guilt. You see, the thing is, all of those things, reading our Bibles, giving generously, all of those things are good things. But when actually our motivation is to do them out of compulsion, they're almost meaningless. See, the freedom that Jesus really calls us into is to have our hearts transformed, which means actually becoming generous people. Or being people who really want to spend time with God, not just because we feel like we should. You know, the Pharisees and the religious leaders of Jesus' day, they were masters of this. They were masters of looking good on the outside. You know, Jesus called them whitewashed tombs that looked good on the outside but were full of dead bones. It's about our heart posture. Whatever we do, we should be doing it out of a spirit of being set free by Jesus. So, how do we use this freedom? Now that we've found it, how do we use it? What does this look like for us? Well, remember earlier when I said that the freedom that Paul talks about seems worlds apart from the freedom that we see in our society, right? Well, that's because Paul goes on to suggest that even though we've been set free, there will still be things that we need to submit to. But we live in a culture that tells us we shouldn't have to submit to anything. If we're going to be free, we shouldn't have to submit. You know, think about some of the phrases that we so often hear nowadays. You know, follow your heart, speak your truth, you do you. In the words of John Mark Comer, a pastor in Portland in the States, he says, happiness has become about feeling good, not being good. The good life has become about getting what we want, not becoming the kind of people who want truly good things. The self, not God or scripture, is the new locus of authority in Western culture. See, Paul, he urges us that the freedom we find in Christ, it isn't meant to lead us into this kind of freedom, this kind of libertinism, you know, the freedom to just do what we want. But instead, for anyone who believes in Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, we get to live a new life that is characterized by selfless love. Where the world is telling us that we need to be set free from restrictions, Paul tells us that we are set free to live this new life. And so what does that look like practically? Well, you could probably do a whole sermon series on that. I'm sure you've got the next few weeks planned though, so maybe another time. But I just want to draw out a couple of applications that Paul points to later on in this chapter, in chapter 5, verses 13 to 16, when he says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So he says it's not as an opportunity for the flesh. You know, Paul first encourages us not to see our freedom in this way. And it kind of feels like a bit of a weird term, not as an opportunity for the flesh. What does that mean? Well, the word flesh, translated here, it literally means the body. And Paul is using it as a way to explain our kind of physicality, what we do, how we use our bodies, how we live in the external world. He's saying that when we receive this freedom from Jesus, it's not just an internal feeling. How we live and what we do still matters to God. He wants us to live transformed lives. And so Paul, he makes this contrast between old humanity and new life. Old humanity, Paul describes as behaviors that dehumanize people and destroy relationships. It's characterized by selfish, self-seeking practices. But in Jesus is the new life that produces the fruit of the Spirit, which Paul lists in Galatians 5:22 as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. I was so nearly there, I forgot about faithfulness. In contrast to the old humanity, this way of life is characterized by selflessness and servant-heartedness. You know, St. Augustine, who lived in North Africa in the 4th and 5th century, he believed that the basic problem of the human condition is that of disordered desires or loves. In Augustine's view, human beings, they were created for love and in love and for love. And this is kind of what Paul is saying. Self-gratification is our body longing for this love, but finding it in all of the wrong places. Once we experience freedom in Christ, we are finding it at the source. No longer fulfilling that need for that love in other places, but instead we get to live that love out for others. You know, I think Jesus, he has far more for us in our lives than to just come along on a Sunday and do the church thing, but for that to have no impact on our lives for the rest of the week. You know, I always find baptism services incredibly inspiring. It's exciting to hear that you guys have one coming up. If you want to get baptized, do it. It's a wonderful thing to do. And also come along and cheer on those people getting baptized. But I love baptism services. They're actually my favorite services of the year. And we actually had one a couple of weeks ago. And hearing the stories of people sharing about the transformation they have found in Jesus is always amazing. Like a guy called Ali, who's part of our church, and he described having had a one-way relationship with Jesus, where Jesus listened, but I never did. After re-engaging with church after the lockdown, he said, "I felt a personal calling out to change the way I live. Knowing he gave his life for me," Ali said, "it was time to give my life for him." Or Charlotte, who had been struggling with a drug addiction and real struggles with her mental health, and after starting the Alpha course, she had an encounter with Jesus on an evening where she felt particularly low. She said she felt a fatherly voice lovingly speaking to her about discipline, which she said was exactly what she needed in her life. She said she had spent so many years defensive and angry, cutting off friends and family, not showing love because she herself never felt it. But now, as a result of that encounter, she says that she feels so at peace knowing that God calls her to live a life of love. She said, "I could suffer for the rest of my days and never be able to deny God as my Savior, because that encounter was the best." Or Valerie, who was inspired by her daughter Heather's walk with Jesus, and it caused her to want to, in her words, devote the rest of her life to the Lord. And she got baptized at the age of 76. I love it. It's never too late. When I spoke to Valerie about it, she told me that getting baptized was the best thing she ever did in her life. You know, maybe you're new to faith and you're exploring what all of this just looks like. But maybe you've been a Christian for years and things for you have gotten a little bit comfortable. You know, I believe that Jesus wants to remind us of what a gift his freedom is, and for us to step into it again, because he is never finished bringing transformation into our lives if we'll let him. So the next thing, finally, that Paul encourages us is to serve and love those around us, to use this freedom to serve and love those around us. Theologian N.T. Wright, he says, the first point that Paul makes then is that freedom is for love. It was essential that in learning how to be truly free, the young Christians came to realize that squabbling among themselves was a sign that they were still enslaved. Worse still, it was the way to destruction. You know, the words that Paul uses here for you, when he says you were called to freedom, it is both a singular word and a plural one, which kind of suggests that this kind of freedom that Paul is talking about, it is a freedom that is directed and pointed at us as individuals, but it's also a gift that we share in together as the body of Christ. And so if that's the case, then we need to stop viewing our freedom and our salvation as individualistic, something that's just for me, and start considering what it means for us as part of the wider community of the church. After all, if Paul calls us children of God, then that makes us family. And that means that we need to take how we selflessly love one another seriously. You know, a few years ago, my husband Hines, he ended up in the hospital with appendicitis. And when he came out, he was basically immobile for a little bit of time. He was useless. I'm joking. No. But he was like, he couldn't really do anything for a long time. He couldn't even tie his own shoelaces, bless him. And I was, you know, I was trying my best. Like, I was still working, you know, I was trying my best to keep the house tidy and, like, you know, cook food and do all the work that I needed to do. But one day, one of my closest friends, Bernie, she offered to just come round and just lend me a hand. And so she came and she helped me to tidy. She helped me to make our bed. She helped me to clean. And she even cooked us dinner. You know, Bernie is a wonderful friend, but that would have been a heck of a lot for me to ask her to do that. And so why would she do that? Why would she offer just to come and do that? Well, I like to think that it's partially because she loves us. But I reckon a bigger reason is because she really loves Jesus. You know, when we're set free, we die to ourselves. And when we do that, we then become free to selflessly serve and love the people around us. It's not about me anymore. I get to selflessly serve and love others. See, love and service to others, it kind of appears in this passage where Paul is writing. It kind of seems a little bit like an antidote to the self-seeking ways of the flesh. You know, let me explain a little bit what I mean. It kind of works a little bit like a cycle. On the one hand, there's the cycle of the old life, which is up on the screen. We can see it. You know, this is the freedom from life that we kind of mentioned earlier, where the world, it tells us that real freedom means being free from restrictions or having people tell us what to do. And so when we live in that kind of freedom, it leads us to kind of serve ourselves and our own needs. And so then as a result, we find ourselves living for the flesh and being driven by those desires. And in turn, it then brings us back to this kind of self-seeking way of finding freedom all over again. But when we let go of the old life, and we experience freedom in Jesus, it allows us to live in a new way of life where we get to experience this kind of freedom to serve one another through love. And as we reach out and we serve others, we are dying to ourselves and the self-serving nature of the old life, which then brings us back again to greater freedom in Jesus, freedom to keep living this new way of life. You know, what would it look like for us to be the kind of community, the kind of church, the kind of people that embrace Jesus' freedom in order to serve and to love one another? And that don't just see church as a place to kind of feed and serve ourselves, but as a family that lays its life down for one another. You know, maybe you could follow Bernie's example and think about somebody that you could reach out to, maybe who's struggling or vulnerable. Might be a good opportunity to reassess what you do with your spare time, and maybe now is a good moment to sacrifice some me time in order to serve others. As we think about responding to this invitation from Jesus, I think this has to include what we do as a church. And so this could be a great time to offer yourself to help serve as part of a team here at Encounter. You see, Jesus, he didn't set you free so that you could keep it to yourself. Remember, it's not just freedom from, it's freedom to love and to live just like Jesus did. So I'll ask you again, how do we find freedom like Sudeep? Well, we understand like he did, the love of God that brings healing, that brings renewal, that brings transformation, and that most importantly brings freedom. Something that we cannot keep for ourselves, and once we've experienced, in the words of Sudeep, we're not going to give up for anything else. And so, guys, I'd love just to invite you to stand if you're able to. And we are just going to respond to this. Just take a moment to do that. And we're going to go back into a song of worship. But before we do, I'd love just to invite you, if you feel comfortable, just to close your eyes, maybe to put your hands out in front of you, just in a posture and a sign, just to say, Jesus, I'm open to how you want to challenge and change and transform my heart. Because I think there'll be a range of people in this room . I think there will be some of us where we do just feel really bound by something. There is something that feels tangibly like it is restricting us from really being able to experience the freedom that Jesus died to give us. Maybe it's something like anxiety. Maybe it's like a behavior pattern. It's something that you just can't get out of the pattern of. Or maybe it is that thing of legalism. Like maybe you just feel really like, oh, I need to just do X, Y, and Z, otherwise people are going to think that I'm not a very good Christian. And actually, Jesus just wants to pour his love on you and just set you free from that. Maybe you don't currently know Jesus, or you're kind of exploring, you're on a journey, And actually just hearing more and more about the freedom of Jesus, it stirred something in your heart that makes you kind of want to know more and experience more of him. There's a sense that maybe some of us, we feel like we once knew that freedom, but actually it feels like maybe our heart has gone a bit hard. Maybe we're just really conscious that, I feel like my heart has just gone a little bit hard. And actually there's just an invitation this morning just for Jesus to come and soften our hearts so that we can experience that freedom and we can then live that out as a blessing to people around us. And so before we just kind of worship again, and then I think there'll be an opportunity to pray for people who really would love prayer, I'm just going to pray over us and then we're just going to worship. Holy Spirit, we just invite you. We thank you, Lord, that you are not a God who is far off in heaven, but that you are a God who came to the earth to save us, to die for us, so that we get to live a life of freedom and joy and goodness because of you, because of who you are. And so, Lord, we open our hearts to you this morning. Meet us where we're at. Show us the new life and the new freedom that you're calling us into, the transformation that you want to do in our lives, so that we get to look more and more like you and we get to live more and more in the life that you died to give us. Come, Holy Spirit, we open our hearts up to you.